Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Will you join me in prayer? We're almost there. We're almost there. God, give us the strength to get there. Give us the strength to meet the place where hope begins this week. Open us up to hear a new word, a new hope, a new promise. Receive the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth. We ask this in your good and strong name. Amen. Well, all of you know this, but I live off of Penn and Memorial, and I talk about it a lot, and I generally really like the area. I mean, I'm right there next to anything you could ever want. You've got it. I want to dart over to the movies? I could almost walk over there. Want to run to Target? Last year, when we had the great Pentecost wind, I had to walk to Target because we were stuck in the apartments. I can get anything I need, and most importantly, I can get to that turnpike really quickly, and so it makes me be able to sleep in an extra 10 minutes to get here on Sunday mornings because I can just zoom right down the turnpike. It's wonderful until October 31st hits. Then I start to dread to leave my apartment and go anywhere. Something crazy begins to happen, and it's like all of these people get together and go, "Today is the official day that we take our crazy." And it won't end for a very long time, and you're going to make everyone want to pull their hair out. You see, cars start backing up in either direction. People start honking and using those pretty creative hand gestures. Some risk it all, rev up their engines, close their eyes, and just go darting out, not caring what anyone else is doing. And then at that moment, all the moms do the classic seatbelt and honk on the horn. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And because of this, I have to leave an hour earlier, no matter where I want to go. Even if it's just to get to the turnpike, I have to leave an hour earlier. Merry Christmas to me. Today, we light the fourth candle of Advent in our Advent wreath, the candle of love. Just as Penn and Memorial and all the rest of our lives are getting to that Christmas frenzy high point. When I pull out onto the streets of Penn, I have to be honest. I struggle to experience anything but love. Today, as we light the candle of love, some of you may be feeling the same way, not able to experience anything but love. Maybe some of you are tired, fatigued, worn out from the crazy hustle and bustle of this season, trying to get everything just perfect. I mean, I prayed over that turkey you brought in, Ben, this morning, so it would be perfect. First turkey I've seen on a Sunday morning in church. Some of you may be waiting anxiously or in deep grief. Some of you might be holding on to precious moments of memories from years gone by. But some of you might be waiting expectantly. Some of you may be waiting in joy. I know the kids are. I'm hearing the jingles of bells on roofs. Whatever it is, all of us come into this space this morning holding one thing in common: waiting. We've been on a journey these past 4 weeks. For some, the road has been long and arduous. For some, the road has been smooth and easy and full of joy. But today, through a girl's song, through Mary's song and her story, we're reminded that we're almost there. You see, the story of Mary and the part that comes next, I want to invite you when you go home to read the story right after this. There's this song that comes into the world at the right time. This song of a young girl. It's a story about chaos building in the world, on the roads, in our lives. And as Mary comes right into the middle of the story, giving us a chance to stop and remember why we started down this long road in the first place. I have to be honest, when I think about Mary, I think of that wonderful journey song. She's a small town girl living in a broken world, in a lonely world. Mary was that small town girl, unassuming, young, probably the age of grace, and some of our teenagers, engaged to be married. She didn't have much. She was a woman and treated as such. She was treated as property. She was engaged, said, "Here's our property. We'll make a deal. I'll give you some chickens and some lambs for your daughter." It was a transaction. She was just being sent off into marriage at her young age. For her time and day, she just was one of those ordinary girls. Mary would be, by our modern standards, considered a girl from the sticks, a country bumpkin, or worse, a hick. When we think of people from this type of life, we have this idea of what we conceive them to be like. People from stations that don't have a lot. Maybe they're a little isolated from the world. They just don't know how those new modern fangled things work, you know, like an iPad or how to hook up internet or anything like that. You know, they're just backwoods. They're over there from Frederick. We think that they have these foreign lives out feeding chicken all day. They don't know anything about the city and the way the city works. And most importantly, very few, if any, in these circumstances, we tend to think, really ever have a chance of doing something extraordinary or important in their lives. I mean, after all, they haven't got access to all the things that everybody else does, right? She's just a small school in a small town world. She just lived on a farm. Not much money. 14. Engaged to be married. How could anything other than ordinary happen in her lives? But here's the good news. When God shows up in the lives of people, particularly in the ordinary lives of people, everyday people, strange blessings tend to start to turn up, and the world is set upside down, and the proverbial apple cart goes out the window. When God shows up, the ordinary become extraordinary. Ashley Cleary writes, "The tendency to think that leading unassuming lives in the out-of-way places isolates us from extraordinary is debunked by Mary's surprise visitor, just as it's dismantled by television broadcasts of school shootings and forest fires or small towns that take pride in their accomplishments of members of their community." Mary may have just been another ordinary girl who we sing about as being meek and mild. Can't you picture it? I mean, look over here in this nativity. Doesn't she look so sweet and meek and mild? I think Mary was beyond that. Think about it. A 14-year-old, an angel shows up to her and says, "You have found favor with God. Don't be afraid." And Mary, instead of being meek and mild and cowering and hiding and running away, stands there and says, "I have found favor with God. Thanks be to God. What's happening in me will change the world." She was fearless. She found her voice, and she stood up. That's not meek and mild. That is a "you go, girl." This ordinary girl finds her voice and receives the strangest of blessings that would have left any other 14-year-old going, "What?" and running for the hills. Standing, singing her heart out, singing a song that would be championed by the poor through ages. She sings a song that stirs the heart of all who have found themselves in oppression. She sings a song that proclaims God's kingdom, a kingdom that's radically different from anything anyone ever expected or even dared to dream. Think about it. It started with a teenager. Why should we expect anything less? And all of that promise of love flutters in her womb. With a kicking baby. Strange blessing indeed. There's this really fancy word for what Mary is, but it means the God-bearer. Mary is the one who bears God to a broken world. Meister Eckhart was quoted as saying, "We're all meant to be mothers of God. What good is it to me if this eternal birth of the divine Son takes place unceasingly, but does not take place within myself? And what good is it to me if Mary is full of grace and I'm not also full of grace? What good is it to me for the Creator to give birth to his Son if I do not give birth to him in my time and my culture? Then is the fullness of time when the Son of God is begotten in us." We began this journey 4 weeks ago because we each need a break from the chaos of our lives to remind ourselves that we're called to carry that strange, surprising, yet ordinary miracle within us. We started this journey because the world needs to be reminded that there is a different way of doing things being birthed every single day. We started this journey because we have hope, and we need to be reminded of that hope, especially in this dark world. We started this journey because God first loved us. How can we not respond in love? Amen.